Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We are podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show whenever you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, and you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Later on in the program, today is Friday, ladies and gentlemen, Robert Knott will be with us, as he is always, speaking of the arts. Right now, I would like to welcome three people from the Santa Fe Waldorf School. Barbara Booth is the school administrator, and Gala Hoffman and Eleanor Stevens are students. Welcome, ladies, to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks for having us, Mary Charlotte.
My pleasure. So every once in a while, we have people from various schools around Santa Fe on the air, and the Waldorf School is an international, what would you call it, chain or network of schools founded in Germany.
That's true. It was first started in 1919 as the result of some educators and teachers, leaders in society in Germany, speaking to Rudolf Steiner about what he might consider would be a new paradigm in education. And Rudolf Steiner was a philosopher, educator, scientist, quite the inspiring person in those days, and he talked to this group of scientists, educators, and gathered together within about 6 months the first Waldorf school in Germany.
So people came to him and said, our wonderful German school system has some flaws. What were those flaws?
Well, some of the flaws were not being able to reach with a high-quality education, a diverse economic spectrum of society at the time. So students were already at an early age being pushed into either vocational education or perhaps more political leadership endeavors. So Steiner was trying to find a way to mix not only the economic stratus of society, but also gender. So the schools were always boys and girls together, and
which was not the norm at that time.
Not all the way through, right? So the picture was to create an education based on a developmentally appropriate curriculum that addressed the shifting and changing learning needs of children from ages, in a sense, 1 through 18.
One?
Well, yes. that's true now. I think it wasn't part of the first school. But now, as society is finding cracks and crumbling in different ways, and as we look around ourselves, we know that the skills of parenting aren't being passed on the way they used to be when we had a society that was more woven together, and many Waldorf schools are adding Mommy and Me and toddler programs, and the Mommy and Me or Parent and Me program actually allows the parent to come into and to learn from a trained Waldorf teacher about parenting skills. Our school starts with the preschool, ages 3 and 4, goes through 12th grade, and these students here are in the early chapter of our high school. This is its 8th year.
Okay.
This year will be the first graduating class. Gala's sister is in the a senior this year, and she's graduating. These students next year will be engaging in all the rigorous aspects of looking around for colleges also. If there were words I would put on the Waldorf curriculum, I would think about diversity. I think about a holistic approach. I think about the schools as being inclusive, very dedicated to making it possible for anyone who wants to come to our school to be able to come, with a very strong tuition assistance program, and academically rigorous.
Now, have both of you been doing Waldorf education since you were 1 year old, 3 years old, whatever?
No, I began a Waldorf education when I was in kindergarten. I came to the Santa Fe Waldorf School when I was in second grade, and I've been here ever since.
And so what I understand is that you have the same teacher for multiple years in a row.
That is true to some extent. when a Waldorf class begins in first grade, we get a teacher, and generally that teacher stays with that class until the class is in eighth grade. But in high school, it works in the same way a public high school works. You have a different teacher for English, different teacher for history, etc.
Those high school teachers are trained in that specific area, whereas the class teachers, grades 1 through 8, are generalists trained in all the different subjects. Yes.
So do you ever come across a situation where you've got a student staying with a particular teacher for years in a row and they don't like each other?
Well, part of the foundation of what's really quietly behind this education is this remarkable training in learning how to love, respect, tolerate people who are different from each other. So that
different is one thing, but I mean sometimes people just are find each other irritating. Just
yes.
The chemistry, what do you call
yes.
it?
Yes, and I'm sure there are I know there are situations where it may not be a good fit for a child and a teacher in a class. That does on rare occasions happen. But one thing I can say about Waldorf class teachers in the grade school is that they're in that job because they love children. And so that's the, you know, general tenor. But, yes, on the rare occasion, you know,
so what do? You'd move them to a different...
No, they would decide for probably a different school. Yes.
Gala, you also have been a Waldorf student all your life?
No, I began to attend Waldorf when I was in the fifth grade. I had been to many previous schools before that, and they weren't right for me. And I finally got into Waldorf. My class was really full, so it took a while for me to get in, and when I did get in, I loved it, and I've been there ever since. So
it's interesting when you say the other schools weren't right for you. Is that something that you came to your parents with, or how did you determine that a school wasn't right for you?
Well, I had been trying to go to a Waldorf school since I was in the first grade, and that class was so full that there wasn't any room for me. And so
was that something that you, even as a six-year-old, your parents wanted you to do, or...
Yeah,
were
they
you
wanted me to do
it,
and I had visited, and I really liked it because there was a lot of arts and just room to create, and I really liked that about the Waldorf school. So I tried to get in, and it took a couple years before I could get into the school, so I've been there ever since.
Now, arts are very much a part of the curriculum. Is that something that both of you are very much participating in?
I chose to come to the Waldorf High School partly because I am very interested in art. Yes, we have art classes for, is it an hour and a half, I believe, three times a week, which I find very helpful. And what I enjoy about the art curriculum at the Waldorf School is that it allows you to experience a wide variety of different arts. You don't simply do studio arts. You also do crafts. You also do drama, all mixed up throughout the year. So it gives you a lot of diversity, and yes, you get a lot.
And it's not just the art as in painting and drawing, it's also in terms of music, and we have chorus, which could be considered an art, and like she said, it's not just the arts that you see every day, it's copper and tin work and different really diverse art
embroidery.
Subjects. Yeah, embroidery.
One interesting thing about, Gala just mentioned the high school chorus, we have been able to keep twice a week our high school student body doing one activity together, and it is this high school chorus. It's a remarkable thing.
Everyone
sings together. We have a fabulous teacher, and they are preparing probably this year to enter statewide competitions. Their sound is remarkable. People hear them and say, this is incredible, and it just goes to show that this principle that's true in the Waldorf school and in right through senior year, that if we expose young people to all different fields, whether it's music or science or English, physics, chemistry, all the way through 12th grade, they can excel at something that they might not have thought they could, and therefore all the doors remain open for them. And the result that results from Waldorf research on graduates is fascinating to see the kinds of talents that people, as they become young adults and go to college, frequently they can't figure out what to major in because they love so many subjects. So they double major or they go on for a second college round. it's quite remarkable to see the results of exposing students to all these different possibilities.
If I understand correctly, one of the things that you teach or cultivate in the Waldorf education is self-motivation. So instead of having the teacher have to structure everything and just you plug in, you actually learn how to decide what you want to do. Is that, would you say that that's true of your experience, Eleanor and Gala?
I would say that to some degree that's true. There are very few electives at a Waldorf school, at least at this one. So in that sense, we don't get much say in the various classes we take, usually. But within the different subjects that we take, we are free, I think, to focus on things that interest us most. We usually do several independent study programs, small things, every few months, and we are free within a various subject, for example, Latin American history, to focus on a certain subject that interests us. We can read a book by an author that interests us. We can do an art project that interests us. We can study a various aspect of culture that interests us. So in that way, we do have a lot of freedom in what we think, yes.
And Mary Charlotte, you were spot on in terms of one of the goals of graduating seniors, which is that they be able to think independently, question authority, want to know what the whys are behind something, and all of that is done in a structured way, which we feel is important for teens still, to have that kind of structure. But as Eleanor was saying, there's freedom within the structure to make a choice. I wish I could show you some of the projects, for instance, in a Japanese literature class where the students have a project to do and how will they present it. Sometimes it's in a scroll form, sometimes it's in a painting, sometimes it's writing a poem or creating a book. It's quite beautiful to see the way that their unique personalities shine forth.
We're talking to the folks from the Santa Fe Waldorf School. And by the way, there's going to be an all-school open house on Saturday, January 24th from 10 o'clock to noon. And what's that about? People can just, who are interested in letting their children go there or in going there, can come and check it out?
Absolutely. It's a chance of a lifetime to come and see.
Chance of a lifetime. Chance of a year.
Oh, well, a chance of a year, right. Chance of a year to come and see and make a change that might affect the lifetime of a young person. Because in my opinion, and I've studied Waldorf education for years, this is the new paradigm for our evolving human consciousness. And it started a mere, when we think in the big scale of things, a mere 90 years ago. And we look at society around us right now, we see things crumbling, and Waldorf education is standing as this way that holistic education, weaving together, using always the head, heart, and hands in all the different subjects, holding that firmly, addressing a sense of place, commitment to service in the community, all those things. So at the open house, a visitor or even a current parent gets to walk through all the grades. The classrooms are wide open. The teachers have set out their students' main lesson books. That's a fabulous part of Waldorf education, grades 1 through 12 in the morning main lesson, which lasts for about 3 weeks, and it's about 2 hours long every morning. They study a theme.
Uh-huh.
And the theme might be projective geometry in the high school, or it might be New Mexico history in the elementary school, and the students actually make a book. So those books will be laid out so that the visitors can see. The artwork will be on the wall. The musical instruments will be there. The curriculum guides will be out for people to see. Teachers will be available to talk to. It's a fabulous opportunity.
But the students will be home sleeping.
Yes.
It's Saturday.
Yes. We try to give them a break once in a while.
Now, I take it that social responsibility and interacting with the community is also part of the philosophy. Have you been involved, for example, in community projects outside the school?
You could mention about the art project with Santa Fe High.
Oh, that's true. We it's the 400th anniversary of the plaza, so we were chosen to work with Santa Fe High and create a mural that will be displayed sometime, I think, in the spring of next year. So we had been working on a ginormous mural that we've been painting, so I haven't seen the final product, but it'll be out next year. So.
How much do Waldorf schools differ from one another? So in other words, if you're doing geometry in October in Santa Fe, what are they doing in Iowa?
Probably not geometry in October. They, in other words, the teachers choose, they put together the different pieces of the curriculum in whatever way works for them.
So there's a lot of autonomy and choice on the part of the teachers themselves.
Yes, and there is a lot of similarity. People say that if you go to a Waldorf kindergarten in Russia and a Waldorf kindergarten in Santa Fe, New Mexico, you would walk into this environment and you would say, oh my goodness, I'm in a Waldorf kindergarten. This is so beautiful. It's so warm and nurturing. Tears come to people's eyes, especially students when they graduate and then they come back and they walk into the kindergarten. It's incredible. But by the time you get through the grades into high school, it very much reflects a sense of place of that region and that area. And we're very committed in the curriculum, even through the grades, this interwoven connection with nature, whether it be a nature table in the first or the third grade, or it be the farming, gardening, and forestry blocks in the high school, or whether it be the junior year workplace internships where students go out into the community and are working as service in a way, but also a learning experience for themselves in various workplace environments. By high school, it's the students are moving out into the world, even through sports. Eleanor just had a fabulous experience last evening. I don't know if you want to tell Eleanor about what we did.
I'm on the basketball team, the varsity basketball team at the Waldorf High School. We played New Mexico School for the Deaf last night. At about 6:30. It was a very good game. It was very close. We won by 2 points, 32-30. That was our first district game of this season, so we are very excited.
Yeah, that was great.
I wanted to ask both of you, students, what have been the projects or the activities that you've done at the Waldorf that have been most exciting or fulfilling to you?
Well, I really like the orchestra program. We have orchestra 2 times a week. You can either choose to be in a guitar ensemble, the string orchestra, or the jazz ensemble.
And you're a dancer also.
Yes. That I do outside of school, though.
What instrument do you play?
I play the cello.
And so the orchestra is an internal orchestra. Again, when you are in an orchestra, how many people are in it?
Well, it's the whole school is in does orchestra at the same time.
Really?
So it's an integration of all four classes. I think there are about 25.
I think there are about 20 or more of you in the string orchestra now.
So not only does everybody sing, they all play an instrument?
It's required to play an instrument since beginning in the fourth grade. You pick up an instrument and you keep it. So.
And what do you play, Ellen?
I play the cello as well. Uh-huh. I'm also in the orchestra.
And what are some of the music that you've played?
Right now we're playing the Lord of the Rings, a compilation from all the songs of Lord of the Rings. It's really beautiful. And we've done Star Wars and other songs that aren't really known. So
I thought you were going to say Bach and Mozart.
Oh, that too. Oh, yes.
We played a little bit of Mozart.
It depends on what performance we're preparing for.
Now, Barbara Booth, you started this school. That's a huge endeavor.
Well, that's not quite, that's generous of you to say that, but not quite accurate. The Waldorf School started in 1983 with a group of parents and future teachers who formed a study group, learned about Waldorf education, and then started it. I was instrumental in helping the high school start. We started with a study group also that lasted for a few years, and then a group of teachers and parents with the school's blessing and permission began the high school. And the first graduating class was in 2005. I happened to have a daughter who graduated in that class, and she's now a senior in college at Smith College. And there were a wonderful team of us. And what's, I think, quite remarkable is that all the people involved in the early years of the high school are still teaching in the high school, and so carry that thread, carry that warmth and enthusiasm, love of the students, love of Waldorf education.
In the beginning, you were talking about how the Rudolf Steiner philosophy was in part concerned with bringing together the different social strata. Do you also offer a lot of scholarships and so on so that people can go even if they can't afford private school tuition?
Yes, that means a very great deal to every Waldorf teacher. It's a part of the founding philosophy is that we reach anyone for whom this is the right fit. And we dedicate quite a substantial portion of our budget to tuition assistance and make it a priority. Even in these economic times, it's important to us that if a family were struggling for one reason or another, we would want them to come to the business office and engage in a conversation about how to make it work.
So when people graduate, what happens? Do they become lifelong Waldorf supporters?
Apparently, and we're really looking forward to that time. You know, this is still the early years, so our students are still in college. We have young men at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, at Wesleyan University, studying design, innovation, and society at Rensselaer, and astrophysics at Wesleyan. Wadi Crazy Horse is at Stanford University on a Gates Millennium Scholarship. They're moving their way through college, and what I love is at the holidays when all of a sudden in the door walks, you know, Daniel Lockley or Wadi Crazy Horse
Bennett.
Or Max Bennett. They just come back and hang out and sort of pick up the energy of the high school again.
And because it's such a small school, we all know each other. So when they do come back, there are still people there that they know because we all have to know each other.
How big is the school? For example, how many people are in each class of the high school?
Well, it varies in size. We're approaching 60 in the high school right now. We started with
total.
Yeah.
There's 16 in our class.
Wow.
I think there's 8 in the senior class. And
right. Close to 20 in the freshman class. So it varies. Our major feeding source, you could say, is the eighth grade of our Waldorf school. Also, Waldorf high school education is a wonderful time for people to join the school, even if they haven't had a connection to it before. So we're always looking for students for whom this is the right place.
Santa Fe Waldorf School is having an open house on Saturday, January 24th. From 10 until noon, and if people want to call for more information, the number over there is 992-0566. Barbara Booth is the school administrator. Eleanor Stevens and Gala Hoffman are students. Thank you all so much for being with us.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break right now, and Robert Knott will be with us in just a moment. Please stay tuned to KSFR. I'd like now to welcome Robert Knott. He's the associate editor of the Pasa Tiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe New Mexican, and he's with us every Friday speaking of the arts.
How you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Hey, you shaved off that mustache.
Yeah, I shaved totally. And your hair looks terrific. You cut your hair and I shaved.
Yeah, I actually did cut my hair.
Yeah, so that's good. Good news up in the Hudson River where you and I are from.
I know.
It's a great story about everybody cooperating, the pilot, the Coast Guard, commercial and private enterprise, tuggers, boats, everybody. They pulled all those passengers, all of whom worked together, and it's a really nice story for the beginning of the year.
Yeah, plane went down, landed in the Hudson River, lost its engines, both lost all its power, landed in the Hudson River, and everybody was fine.
It's a really good story. And if you haven't heard about it, pick up the paper or look on the TV or something. And just give me a minute of self-indulgence because I feel like it. And I know we have a lot of listeners that like animals. I had to put down
give you a minute of self-indulgence?
Yeah,
why?
Yeah, I know. I had to put down my beautiful 17-year-old cat last
weekend.
Oh, no. And I cried all day.
Oh, gosh.
And I miss her so much, but she needed to go. And I took her to Smith's, which is not my vet. And I paid. I always pay my way. And they were great. They were just wonderful, wonderful
people. They're wonderful.
Because my
vet's
not open on Saturday.
That's where I go with my. There's so many vets who work there. It's a cooperative group there.
I had a wonderful woman, Dr. Land, and she was.
She's great.
And she was with me in Keystone, and I miss her. My dogs miss her, and they're also nervous. They're looking at me like, "We're not gonna like suddenly disappear, are we, Dad?" So I'm like, "No, doggies, you won't disappear." And I've been giving them a lot of chewies. I can't say that on the air though. they know what it means. Like, they're listening right now. I forgot.
Your dogs are listening, and you just mentioned Chewies.
Yeah, so now they're looking at the cabinet, but I ran out. I have to say C-H-E-W. But even Rio is beginning to, like, get it. He's like, he's been consulting the dictionary, because I called him nincompoop once. So, anyway, what are we talking about? The arts?
You're listening to Speaking of the Arts with Robert Knott.
Let's get back on track.
You're listening to Speaking of Robert's Animals.
I know. I can't help it. Anybody who loves your animal, give him a little kiss or pet today. Gerald Peters Gallery, 1011 Paseo de Peralta, around the horseshoe there. Levels of Inquiry, Unknown, Emerging, and Mature, a group show of new artists. Reception 5 to 7 through February. That's a great gallery, and they've got plenty of parking. And it's the only art opening we have in Paso Tiempo. We may have missed some, but as always, make sure your press releases are timely and have all the information. But Gerald Peters tonight, new group show, 5 to 7, show runs through February.
And we just were talking to people from the Waldorf School, and I got this from Santa Fe High. Santa Fe High School presents A Little Bit of Broadway,
'09,
January 16th and 17th. Why, that's today and
tomorrow
at 7 o'clock. And that is for reservations, you can call 467-2970, and that's at Santa Fe High.
You know what? Somebody who's in that called me up and invited me, because she's been in some of my shows. But Joey Chavez is a really great guy and is one of the best directors in town. It's not easy to do what he
does. If he's listening, you should get on my show.
He should. He just doesn't promote himself. I mean, he just kind of forgets. So he didn't even send us anything.
Yeah, somebody once sent, a few times people have said, oh, we're doing a show this coming week, and can we get the people on your show? And I said, it's too late. Call me a few weeks in advance. Like, call me a month in advance.
But Joey's great, I'm going to try to go see that show tomorrow night.
Excellent.
Meow Wolf.
Yay.
Meow, 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 meow. They have foot ox, which is not a disease. It's not like foot and mouth disease like I get every time I come on the darn show.
This is
an Arizona experimental folk pop group, and they have Bree White, acoustic folk, and they have French Quarter, an experimental pop group. Very interesting names, and they're all playing tonight at 7 o'clock. It's an early concert at Meow Wolf, 1800 2nd Street. You got to pay to get in, but it ain't too much. Check out myspace.com/meowwolf. Meanwhile, there's a whole different kind of music at the TGIF. What do you think that stands for?
Thank you. Goodness, it's Friday.
Oregon Recital Series. The music of Bach and Gerald Neer. 5:30 p.m. tonight. Donations accepted. First Presbyterian Church Sanctuary, which is on Grant Avenue. 982-8544, extension 16. It's in the Paso Tiempo calendar. Pick it up. The Paso Week has everything. So if you're interested in some organ music at 5:30, you get off work, you're tired, you need some sort of sanctuary feeling. Maybe you don't want to go sit in confession yet. Then you go down there and you listen to this music, and maybe it'll make you feel better. And then you can get over to Meow Wolf at 7, and then you go get dinner somewhere.
So you're scheduling everybody who's listening's evening.
Me, I'm staying home to watch the ghost shows on the Discovery Channel. Those guys go like the Most Haunted group. That's on Friday night, so I may swing by Gerald Peters and say hello.
So, yes. 3 shamans, 8 pack horses, and 1 mountain bike.
Oh,
Jeff De La Pena will give a free public presentation called, by that name, it's about doing Peru's Ausangante Mountain in style. That's this coming Thursday, January 22nd at 6 o'clock at the REI Community Room. That's REI is in the Railroad District, and he was the first to circumambulate the Ausangante Mountains by bicycle. I don't know if you could call it circumambulate.
So
I would say circumbicyclate.
What kind of verb is that?
Well, it just means to walk around. But if you're ambulating, then you're not on a bicycle. It's circumbicyculate or something.
I don't know. I've done a lot of ambulating in my life. Very little of it on a bicycle. You're right. But
yeah,
I think you could ambulate on a bicycle. Depends if it's a bicycle built for two.
You can also go to jeffdelapena.com.
I have a place to sit, too.
Penna has 2 N's in it. That's an Italian name.
If you pick up the Paso Tiempo today, you're going to see the cover story. And it's a shot of Edgar Lee Hewitt. We talked about him last week.
Indeed.
He runs the Hewitt-Packard office supplies thing.
No.
Friends of Archaeology Lecture Series are presenting a series of lectures about Edgar Lee. And the first one is called Winds of a Thousand Years, Edgar Lee Hewitt and the Ancient Southwest. And George Mason, who's George Mason University professor, James Sneed, not George Mason. George Mason runs a university. Well, the name of the university is George Mason University. I don't know if George Mason is still living, but let's not get Masonic about it. James Sneed is
going
to be speaking at 5:30 at the New Mexico Film Museum, which I'm sorry to say is still not a film museum. It's just the old John Cocteau. 418 Montezuma Avenue, you got to pay to get in. Paul Whiteman did a really nice Q&A with James Sneed. You should pick up the pasta today. If you're interested in the lecture, if you don't want to pick up the poster, you don't have time to read it right now, call this following number for information on the lecture, 992-2715, extension 8. Again, 5:30 tonight. A lot of stuff happening, like, right after work tonight.
Yeah.
So, and let's say that you get off work and you want to go hear some music while you have a drink. At the Cowgirl Barbecue, Zona is doing Americana from 5 to 7, no cover. At the Dragon Room at the Pink Adobe Savor does Cuban music, 6 to 8, no cover. I'm talking about early stuff tonight, like 5 or 6 o'clock, nothing too bad. La Casa Sena has the best of Broadway and jazz at 5:30. Pat Malone's on jazz guitar at 6:30 at Bishop's Lodge. That's pretty neat. Las Mayas has Antonio Mendoza and Gerardo Marquez, guitar and vocals, 6:15, no cover. David Geist doing piano and show tunes at Pranzo, 6 o'clock, very minimal cover.
The Geist Cabaret Room.
Geist. And
Geist means ghost in German.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes you can't see the guy. He's invisible. So many people standing in front of the piano. The Hot Club of Santa Fe is doing gypsy, jazz, swing, and bluegrass at 6 at the 2nd Street Brewery. No cover. Tiny's 5:30 has Mike Montiel and Bobby Glenn on guitar. No cover. Pretty good deal. So there's a lot of like 5, 6, 6:30 music events. You should go check some of that stuff out.
Yes, you should.
Now, on Saturday, the Santa Fe Men's Camarada has their 10th anniversary concert.
Yay, we talked to Ken Knight on the air the other day.
Ken Knight's a good guy.
Indeed.
And they're doing works by Edvard Grieg, Cole Porter, and I'm going to mispronounce this name, Josquin Desprez. Josquin Desprez. 7 o'clock, Scottish Rite Center, Saturday night. Doesn't have to be the loneliest night of the week. Saturday night ain't the loneliest night of the week. 7 o'clock at the Scottish Rite. Here's a phone number for you, 438-2899. You do have to pay to get in. There's an admission charge, which we don't mention on KSFR. But we can say that for students, no charge.
Hey, I got an email about this black lab mix named Nelson. He's about 90 pounds. He's the cutest thing. We have him posed in this picture next to a pumpkin, which if you email me, I will send it to you. He's up for adoption. If you want more information, you can call 466-0388. He's a loving dog, but he thinks he's a lap dog. He had a wonderful family that...
Wait, you said he was a lab dog.
Lap dog, not lab.
Well,
he's a lab.
Laps. My dogs lap up the water and the milk every day that I put on the floor.
That's lap dog, a really lap good dog. Point. But he's had wonderful owners that have then had to give him up for whatever reason. I'm not sure why. But anyway, he's housebroken.
Nelson.
He's crate trained. He doesn't bark except for at strangers and at evil, and at sometimes at bunnies also.
That's pretty good. My dog Rio does the same thing plus at everything else. So that's good.
So 466-0388, Sandra, if you want to adopt Nelson.
Posed near a pumpkin.
Yeah, they sent me this picture, and the dog is sitting. Like they said, sit, and he sat, and it's right next to a pumpkin.
What if I posed for you next to a pumpkin?
What if?
And let's just say I was wearing nothing but the pumpkin.
Well, then when people called and said that they wanted to adopt you, I'd send them the picture.
That's what I thought. All my ex-girlfriends are posing these sort of photos on the internet. This is exactly what embarrasses me. Stuff I took in the mid-80s. Never pose for photos without knowing that they're going to end up somewhere in this day and age. Polaroids. Okay, let's see. Did you know that it's the Viennese New Year?
Viennese New Year?
Well, they're like on the other side of the world, Vienna. So, like, you know, with
it's
the time
the other
change.
Side of the world. It's 8 hours time difference from here.
Well, somehow or other, the time zone has worked so that their New Year's is 2 weeks after ours. So I think you're wrong. Vienna, the Viennese New Year, mezzo-soprano Kristin Lear is going to be performing the music of Strauss Jr., and Kalman. Am I getting that right? At 4 o'clock Sunday at the Lenzic. This is a great late afternoon concert. This is terrific because you get out by 6, it's dark, and you want a drink. So you can go across the street to one of the bars there. But anyway, the Lenzic, 4 o'clock. This is the Santa Fe Symphony and Chorus, Viennese New Year. 4 o'clock, you got to pay to get in. 988-1234, see Craig Smith's story in Pasatiempo.
Yay, Craig Smith.
Now let's say you're interested in haiku.
Yes.
Haiku, you coo, we all coo first.
We just talked about haiku on the air. Was it yesterday?
With John Brandy.
With John Brandy and Tom Leach from the Palace Press.
They're going to be doing a little thing called Notes on a Haiku Writer's Life.
Yeah.
Called Beauty Askew.
Beauty Askew.
Oh, I like that. Lecture, 3 o'clock, Sunday. Stuart Udall Center for Museum Resources up on Camino Lejo, Museum Hill. Free. Phone number, here it comes. 847-650-96. 3 o'clock Sunday, you must go. Happy holidays. See, if Viennese is New Year's,
you
I
just
can do this stuff.
You just can't not sing.
I know it. I can't help it. Sometimes I'm just lyrical.
Hey, I got a nice email from Jill Batson. It said, bring us your new plays. The Southwest Literary Center is starting a monthly play reading series intended to give playwrights and directors the opportunity to workshop their original plays for audience response. Plays should be in the final stage of development and should require no more than 40 minutes reading time. The center will advertise the readings and arrange for a discussion moderator. One rehearsal, one performance, and a small honorarium are provided.
Pretty good. But that's not a nice
you
email.
You should have a director. You can send manuscripts. Well, let's see. Why don't I just give the telephone number for more information and you guys can take it from there. 505-577-1125.
Yeah, they're going to start a new play writing series. I think it's a great idea. It sounds like if they're only looking for 40 or 45 minutes of reading, that it have to be relatively short work. But if it's a work in progress, it could work out, and they are going to do an honorarium. But you said that's a nice email. That's just sort of a by-the-books email. A nice email would be, Mary Charlotte, I love your show. Your hair is beautiful. You have such chemistry.
Well, I didn't say
Robert
I read the whole thing.
Whenever Robert comes on your show, you suddenly seem to let your hair down, and you certainly have because you've trimmed it in this really hot sort of, I don't know.
You know what I did? I went into the bathroom with a pair of scissors, and I cut it.
Just in front of the mirror?
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you something. It's a little personal. It's not going to be naughty, but don't panic. So, like, what do you wear when you're cutting your own hair in front of the mirror? Because you wouldn't want your hair to get
some ratty old T-shirt that you can then throw out or put in the laundry because it's full of little prickly hairs.
But why not wear nothing just to make it easier? You don't have to do any laundry.
Because I'm not doing it for you, Robert.
I didn't say I would be there. You're making it sound like I would show up to be a voyeur.
I'm just saying.
So I'm just curious about these things. Guys always want to know what women
do. No, that was a nice email because I think any opportunity for playwrights and aspiring playwrights to put their work out is great.
And get an honorarium?
Yeah, and interact with audience members, and I mean, I think it's great.
That is terrific. There you go. I thought you were going to get like an email of praise. Hey, what time is it?
8:44.
Okay, let's say it's Monday.
Let's say
yourself that you want to do something because you're not working. There's a blues band, North Mississippi All Stars, at the Santa Fe Brewing Company at 7:30. You got to pay to get in. Call the Lensic 988-1234. There's a lecture at the Hotel Santa Fe. Southwest Seminars, Voices in Stone Lecture Series. Thunder and Herds on New Mexico's High Plains. Larry Lowendorf, archaeologist, will speak at 6 o'clock. You got to pay. Here's a phone number, 466-2775. If I'm not mistaken, it's Martin Luther King Day.
On Monday it is. It's all sorts of things.
On a more basic level, not as many federal and state offices are closed, including your banks. But the Santa Fe branch of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People are going to celebrate at noon at the State Capitol Building's Rotunda. It's free. 471-6633. That would be a wonderful thing to do. And we all know what Tuesday is. Speaking of the day after Martin Luther King's birthday, it's an amazing day.
It's Inauguration Day.
And
Inauguration Eve and Martin Luther King Day falling on the same day, I think, is just a wonderful confluence.
It's excellent. It's wonderful.
I'm celebrating.
You can pay attention all sorts of ways. You can check out the New Mexicans website if you wanted to watch the inauguration live. But I won't kid that you can watch CNN or Channel 4 as well, probably. That same day at 7 o'clock, Georgia O'Keeffe Museum Women of Distinction is going to be doing a little discussion on various facets of self-esteem as described in Gloria Steinem's Revolution from Within. Dawn Hoffman, described as a life coach, is going to be leading this discussion. And it's called The Radical Act of Reclaiming Self, How to Harness Your Values and Fulfill Your Dreams. 7 o'clock at the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum Education Annex, 123 Grand Avenue, be hours after the inauguration, which takes place at noon on the East Coast. If you're interested in the Georgia O'Keeffe event, here's a phone number, 946-1007. That same night, James Carey is going to speak up at St. John's Peterson Student Center about Thomas
Aquinas.
Yeah, an introduction. So if you wanted an introduction...
He loves Thomas Aquinas.
Well, if we wanted an introduction, how would you introduce Thomas Aquinas?
You know, I'm not the best person to ask, but I would say that he is the, medieval theologian who took Aristotle into Catholicism and made really long and pretty hard to slog through kind of logical explanations for the existence of God and things like that.
So he wouldn't be the one to lead that George O'Keefe.
But don't trust me. Look up Wikipedia.
Okay, I see. Okay. Anyway, you're curious about this guy, Thomas Aquinas. We've all heard of him. He lived a long time ago. James Carey's going to be talking about him at 7 o'clock Tuesday. It's free. Peterson Student Center, 9846.
Rationalists love him.
They do?
Mm-hmm.
I lived on rations.
He's
for
not
years
a mystic.
When I was in the military. There were military rations. I never heard of the guy. Wednesday night, this is exciting.
You're just impossible. You're incorrigible.
He's impossible.
You're incorrigible.
Not to sing, he's impossible. That's a Perry Como song for you. Juno Diaz, and it is Juno. Juno Diaz, great author. I interviewed him for Pasa Tiempo, Q&A in today's Pasa. He's going to be the next Lannan Readings and Conversation Public Program Series guest with Samuel R. Delaney as moderator, 7 o'clock Wednesday. The Lensic, it's really inexpensive to get in. 988-1234, see my Q&A with him. Wrote some terrific fiction, and I really liked interviewing him. Seems like a really down-to-earth, nice, warm guy who's trying to figure it all out himself. And he picked up a Pulitzer for The Brief Wondrous Life of Oscar Wilde. It's a terrific novel. He's a terrific author. Go listen to him if you can on Wednesday night. 988-1234, see my Q&A in Paso Tiempo. I'm about to cough, so pardon me. Good, that takes care of that.
That was so demure. That's such a cute little cough. Anyway, go ahead.
What was that?
Nothing.
What was I?
Nothing.
I've never been called that in my life.
Well.
Is that, isn't that like something you say about a dainty lady or something? What are you kind of insulting me for with that sort of demure?
Never mind. I take it back.
Okay. Benchwarmers 8. 8 Original 1X, 8 o'clock on Thursday. Santa Fe Playhouse, DeVargas Street, pay what you wish. 988-4262, it officially opens next Friday, but you can go to the Pay What You Wish Thursday night opening.
And we're going to have them on the air next week.
Excellent. 8-1X, they've opened it up to national playwrights. That same day, it's noon, you don't know what to do, you've got your brown bag, you're wandering around outside, it's kind of cold. You say, gee, I wish I could soak up more than just the sun, I'd like to soak up some history. Gail Cooper is going to be speaking about Billy the Kid and the Lincoln County War in literature from noon to 12:45, not starting at 12:45, from noon, starting at noon, at the Fray Angelico Chavez History Library, 120 Washington Avenue, no charge. Phone number 476-5090. That's Thursday, 12 noon. It's the beginning of the Brain Power and Brown Bags lecture series. And if you like Billy the Kid, you want to know more about him, go to this free lecture by Gail Cooper. You can bring your lunch. Clean up after yourself. Don't leave the bags and like the Yodels wrappers. My mom just sent me all these Yodels from the East Coast.
What?
Drake's cakes. I ate them all. They're gone. Three boxes of Yodels.
You're out
I was
going to
share them with people.
You're completely out of your mind. Hey, the deadline for the application deadline for children and adult supernumeraries for the 2009 Santa Fe Opera season is today. If you were interested in that and you've been meaning to do it, call Christian at area code 212-832-8757. I think that would be fun. My friend's daughter was in the opera last summer and had a good time.
That's pretty good. I went to a few operas myself. I stayed away through two of them. The New Mexico Arts Commission is having a meeting that's open to the public.
I hope you stayed awake for the one that you reviewed.
I wouldn't even think of falling asleep during that.
You might not think of it, but you might just do it.
People were watching me when I was taking notes, so I would never fall asleep.
Okay, good. I wasn't meaning to question your professionalism.
Doodling little images of Jane Mansfield in my book. But anyway, New Mexico Arts Commission meeting, 9:30, open to the public Thursday morning. If you ever wanted to go to one of these things and see what they talk about. Stuart Udall Center for Museum Resources. Agenda copies available, 827-6490. I announced this on the air like 2 years ago, and then somebody from the Arts Commission called me up and said, we're having a meeting Thursday morning, are you sure? Do you have any information on that? Said, well, here it is in PASA. So the joke was on somebody. But they're good people, I like them. What time is it?
It is 8:52.
Yikes, we're running out of time fast. Art the Bella Gallery is accepting abstract works on canvas for Mark's exhibition. You got to pay a fee to get in. Call 989-4044. Center is calling for photo entries for three competitions. Deadline January 23rd. El Farol's having open auditions on 7 o'clock Monday for bands, singers, and musicians. I should go up there and do my rendition of Chattanooga Choo Choo. It's through January. Every Monday at 7 o'clock, open audition. You already talked about the opera. Warehouse 21 has an open mic Wednesday. Bring your friends, music, poetry, a story. Wednesdays at Warehouse 21. We don't have a time in the Pasta Tempo. What do we do? Miss that? We'll talk to you guys later. Get my hands on those calendar editors.
You know what? I was just looking at my email to see if any announcements came in at the last minute, and Elaine Coleman sends condolences to you about losing your kitty.
Elaine Coleman's a sweetheart, and thank you, Elaine, and thanks.
And we've already gotten a couple of kudos for the about the Waldorf school.
Nice. So there That's good. Have it. That's excellent. And don't forget Santa Fe High, 7 o'clock tonight and tomorrow, Broadway show. Musically, a lot happening. Tiny still has showcase karaoke. Did you see my karaoke story in Pasta 2 weeks ago?
No.
Cowgirl karaoke Monday night.
Oh, yeah, no, I remember that. Yeah,
Tiny's does Saturday night, 8:30, with Nancy and Cindy. And Monday night, it's Michelle, DJ Michelle, with Cowgirl karaoke, 9 o'clock. And I'm going to go back and do Rhinestone Cowboy. Last time I did Dean Martin. El Farol has the Canyon Road Blues Jam at 8 o'clock Tuesday. It's free. Wednesday night, go to the Matador. What's the Matador with you people? DJ Ali Al, punk, glam, dance music, 8 to midnight, no cover. Thursday night, Bill Hearn Duo doing country at La Fiesta Lounge at La Fonda, 7:30. I love dancing to Bill Hearn's music. I like when he does Amarillo by Morning. Amarillo by Morning. It ain't his song, it's George Strait's, but he does it well.
Do you know Camarillo Brillo by Frank Zappa?
Up from San Antonio? No, I don't.
That's a great song.
Everything that I got, girl, is just what I got on. I ain't got a dime, but what I got is mine. I ain't rich, but Lord, I'm free. I am really by morning. Mary Charlotte, will you come with me? What time is it? Time
sure,
to say goodbye?
Robert. No, it's 8:54. We've got a couple of minutes left. I wanted to tell people, I keep running into people who think that this show is only Friday, which I think is a tribute to you, Robert, because so many people listen on Fridays only because they want to hear you. But I want to tell them the show is Monday through Friday, and there's lots of other good things that happen on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and the first half of Friday.
That's right.
Even though the highlight of a lot of people's week is you and your singing.
Let's be honest. There's also people that turn off the radio at 8:30 on Friday.
Yeah, there's a few of those. They're not.
They're
not listening right now. So to them, we can say, yeah, yeah. But you know.
What if they tricked you? What if two of them just tricked you and they were on the listening?
Well, then they heard that horrible insult.
Well, then maybe there's finally I'm winning them over. Remember the beginning, all that hate mail? What is that baboon
doing on
your show?
There wasn't that much hate mail, but there was always...
pasty-faced alligator with the glasses. Get rid of him. You're too high class for a guy like him. That was the problem. You were Maria and I was Tony, you know, and it was like, Mary Charlotte, I just met a gal named Mary Charlotte. She'll never be the same. I'm driving her insane, you know. Mary Charlotte, you all love Mary Charlotte. She's letting down her hair. She doesn't have a care with me, Mary Charlotte. Say it soft, and it sounds like I'm naughty. Say it loud, and it's just kind of haughty. Mary Charlotte, I kind of love Mary Charlotte. Okay, you say the child,
do
the old stuff.
Funny.
Pay me off for the show.
We've got 2 minutes left.
2 minutes? I can sing any song you want in 2 minutes.
We can, is there anything
left
that we haven't talked
about? Let's help artists out.
Hang on, you know what?
Okay, wait, quick,
no,
Sunday.
No, what's happening at the CCA? Because there's always good movies there.
The CCA, by the way, has a new director, Lee Reckow, who I am interviewing in the January 30th Paso Tiempo. I've already interviewed her. My first impression is excellent.
Excellent.
They still have the Kristen Scott Thomas picture, I've Loved You So Long.
You know, my mother just went to that and loved it.
And you should go see that. And they also have, I want to pitch a movie at the screen as well, which, as you may have read, is supposedly closing.
Supposedly. Everybody's up in arms
they
about
certainly
that.
They are. Seems kind of absurd if they can pay their own way. But having said that, JCVD is a very offbeat, interesting intellectual picture with Jean-Claude Van Damme. Even if you're not a fan of his, it's a really fascinating look at celebrity. He plays a B-movie, action movie star caught up in a real-life robbery. I've Loved You So Long, still at CCA.
Hey, you know what's coming in February at the CCA? Che, the Benicio
February
del Toro movie.
Ditto, yep. Monsieur Verdoux, Chaplin, 1947. Terrific movie. CCI wrote a piece about it in today's
Charlie
Pasa.
Chaplin?
It's
oh, that's
1947.
So cute.
Plays a wife killer. Anita O'Day, Life
what?
Of a Jazz Singer. You got it. At the screen. Doubt.
I saw that. We did a little interview on the Anita O'Day movie, and what an incredible jazz singer. I didn't know that much about her or her life. She's
the best.
And go see Gran Torino with Clint Eastwood. I recommend it heartily. It's at Regal 14. It's Clint Eastwood supposedly in his last film acting role, he claims, and it's a great one for him to go out on. It's just a really good, it's movie making at its best, including the manipulations. Jonathan Richards gave it 3.5 chilies. I agree with him on that. It's not quite perfect, but it's a terrific picture. Good movies out there. Come on, Christmas.com.
Okay, and, now it's 8:58, and which means it's just about time to go. I want to thank you for being here. Robert Knott is the associate editor of the Pasatiempo, Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. He's here with us just about every Friday speaking of the arts. And he sings whether we want him to or not, and most of the time it's pretty sweet and cute. And you've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. KSFR streams live on the web at ksfr.org. You can reach me at radiocafe@ksfr.org or leave a message at 428-1528. We're podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show anytime you want, thanks to Santa Fe's Dotfoil Computer Services. And you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Thanks to Mary Lynn LeBlanc for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, Jazz a la Carta. Broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company, my name is Mary Charlotte. This is Robert Knott. Have a wonderful weekend, Robert.
You too, lady.
Have a wonderful weekend, everybody.
Your haircut looks just absolutely rapturous.
Rapturous. That's what raptors do when they swooped. What?
Something to do with rapscallywags.
You mean rapscallions?
Yes.
Or do you mean scallywags?
Well, rapscallions you put on the omelet in the morning. I'm telling you, her hair makes you look like a guy would just want to.
I think it's time to go now. Robert Knott, have a wonderful weekend.
You too.
Ciao.